actual needs analysis, first, second week of January. Yeah. We work pretty close to the
math.
Yeah.
So I would think at that particular point, we should have maybe a study session or something where the other board members could, before we get into formal discussions, middle of public and unpublic, all that stuff going on, at least have a study session or something to get staff and you guys and board members together to talk about all this stuff. But think about that.
Well, yeah, next steps, figures.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Yeah, we should. Part of that analysis then would be, I'm just want to make sure that I've got it all right. It's not the operation of the community center, it's the operation of the maintenance and all that.
I think keeping it broken down by zones is important too, just in case we.
Right, yeah.
Right, so.
Well, we'll need to know that so that we know what we're asking zone 9 to pay now as opposed to what they want to pay.
Right, and verifying how many homes are in zone 8, how many are the others, kind of know where our population is and what's going on there. So that's all part of the numbers crunch.
Yeah, we should buy, so end of the second week of January, we'll be done and have all that information.
But I'll go back to this, like you said, that you can't, even though we are tasked with supplying recreational opportunities, we can't charge the community for those opportunities. We could charge them for, well, part of it is the building, swimming pool, dog park, physical things, I guess.
Yeah, because it gets to be a little bit of the esoteric arena. But under California assessment law, is you're paying. Yeah, it goes back, assessments were originally used primarily to pay for, streets, sidewalks.
Right.
Public infrastructure. I benefited me as a property owner.
Sure.
And so that same concept, even under the 72 Act that the districts are formed under, it has to be benefit to property, not benefit to people that occupy the home on the property. And so, the fact that I can send my kids to a swim class or swim lessons or take a recreation course or yoga or whatever it might be, that's not a benefit to the property, that's a benefit to the occupants.
Right, but being able to maintain the pool.
You certainly maintain and rehabilitate.
Cutting grounds and all the
electricity.
Electricity.
All those things you can fund.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just the soft services programs that you can't.
Right, and they you have to charge for those.
Yeah.
So there's no.
Yeah.
So, yeah, okay. All right.
Thank you guys.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
I look forward to the next step. Okay. With that, we're going to move on to item D2, discussion updates to park rules and regulations. Thank
you. Matt. There you go. All right. So in front of you, we look at the policies as needed or about once a year, just kind of make sure that we're kind of up to date with everything that's going on. Policy 12 is before you today. We're looking at basically were some grammatical changes, some format changes, and we added the addition of dog park rules and regulations, which weren't in the current policy 12. And those are, if you wanted to look at those are on, let's see. It's actually number 9. Yeah, it's dog parks. It's 1, 2, 10. Page 10?
Well, no, it's 10.
Oh, okay, it's 10. I got the 1 in case you asked me specifically what was changed. I got the track changes on it, so. But anyway, we added dog park, which wasn't in the 1 before, so. Any questions on that? Again, it's just kind of an annual or as needed update to policy 12.
Okay, so this will be brought before the board tonight.
Tonight.
Right.
With the recommendation that
guys were okay.
Park and Rec Committee.
Yeah, I'm good with it.
Yeah, good job. Yeah, this is great.
Okay, super. All right, thank you.
And then that will go to D3 Park Rec Forms.
Okay, so kind of three parts to it. What we did was, right now there's a park reservation form and a facility registration form, which you have in front of you. Very typical kinds of forms. You come in, you want to rent the community center, you want to rent a ballpark, you want to rent the barbecue area, what have you. So what staff did for these two forms is we just kind of did some administrative changes. We had some park stuff in the facility form, so we kind of changed it all around so that basically now if you're renting a facility, which is here at the community center, all of the parts and pieces are on one form. And if you're reserving either one or both of our two parks that we currently own, that's on the other form. So really what we did is just administrative. We moved some stuff around, wanted to make sure that you guys were okay with our changing of the forms. It's not anything that's going before the board. We just updated the form so everything's kind of on the right pages instead of mixed between the two forms. Any questions on those?
I don't know.
So that's a two-page form?
Yep. Okay, the third part, you're good with it?
Yeah.
Okay, the third part that's related is we actually, I want to create a third form, which is a special event permit. Typically when we have the chamber coming, the Lions coming, and they're using the facility here, there's a lot more information that we need than we can get on the current form. So what we're looking at is creating the special event form, which has all of the other parts and pieces to it. So if you come in, it's a community event. These two forms are still for if the Pease family wants to come in or the Steele family wants to come in, that's that. But if you're talking a community event where food truck roundup or whatever, we need a lot more stuff. So what we've done is we've created another form, which is a special event. And it allows us then to start checking off all the boxes. What do they need? What are they bringing in? We're asking them these questions anyway. So it's like, let's just create a form where you can just check all the boxes of the things. And then that helps staff from an administrative standpoint just make sure that we get all the parts and pieces together. We've got the right insurance. We have this. We have that. We have everything. So when somebody from the community comes in across the street, boom, they start filling out this form. And we can have everything that we need in one form instead of scatter all over a bunch of different forms. So, any questions?
The only question I have is, I have a third page, it's just posted an inspection, which is fine.
Right, it's just an internal, yes.
Right, but is that an additional form, or can we attach, somehow combine these, the front and the back page and not have to have this extra?
Yeah, typically we'll do that sort of thing. That's just kind of the way I printed it out for your
right,
packet. So,
okay. So this checkoff, the post inspection, would be on the bottom of the back page.
If it fits, if not, or it may be on a second page. Again, it's more of an administrative in-house thing. We don't even have to include it on the form. It's more of, so if Brian goes through and he goes, wow, you know, they kind of messed this up and they messed that up, he can record it right on here so we have a paper trail.
Well I agree, right? So...
But we can do these two pages back to back. So it would be one form instead of one page instead of two.
Correct, but we're saying this page would be additional.
Correct, because I don't know font size if I can get it onto a back to back.
The only reason I'm suggesting maybe look at that is so that if this is attached, that it stays together.
Oh, we would just staple it. Yeah.
They won't be separated, or you wouldn't have to go back and, I don't know.
Right. It would just be, it would be stapled together. It would be all part of the packet that you would just pick up.
Whatever works for you guys.
Okay. So any questions on that? And I kind of created a little page on the front that talks about the special event, which would also be attached. We give some requirements, again, things that we ask for now anyway. We just now have it in writing. We'd ask for a security plan. Proof of alcohol, license, fire department, whatever happens to apply to whatever event they're doing. So it kind of highlights, this is what the special event permit is, this is why we're doing it, here's things you need to consider, and this is all going to be probably part of whatever it is that you're going to be putting on.
Yeah, you just come in to apply, give them
the whole thing, they have the packet, boom, they just follow it and fill it out.
Perfect. All right, very good.
Any questions on it? You guys are okay with that?
We're good.
I guess Chris ran away. He wasn't okay with that?
I talked with him. He's good.
Okay. All right. So
okay.
Those,
you,
we'll move forward. Thanks.
discussion around memorial dedication.
Yes.
Abadie.
Uh-huh. The Bob Abadie. So we had Brian McDonald stop in back in early November. Let me pass out. So that you have these, I don't know if I have the review one, pass that way. So the request came in from Brian McDonald to, and it's coming around to you now. The third page is the dedication plaque, if you will, that he is asking that we place on or near the barbecue area. For your convenience, I've also attached a copy of the facility naming policy, which is policy 23 that's currently in effect with the town. The policy talks about naming facilities, and what the plaque is basically dedicating in the memory of, so it doesn't really per se fall into that category. Or at least the policy as it currently is. So I wanted to kind of bring it to the committee and kind of get your thoughts. I don't know the gentleman. I don't know if Brian has some additional information, Chris, whatever it is that kind of the plan is. It doesn't appear that they want to change the name, which we've done at one of the ball fields. What was that ball field we did? Oh, Cornell?
Yeah.
That was actually named. So when you're renting it, it would be that person's ball field. But this is more of just a memory plaque on there. We wouldn't actually change, as I understand what's being submitted, we wouldn't change it to anything other than the community center barbecue. It would stay that way.
Just a monument and a location
just,
there, that's it?
Yeah, or just attached.
Can I add a little bit more?
So anyway, that's more, because it is a discussion about what the committee wants to do, what the recommendation is.
Just to elaborate a little more, just this is being driven through the Lions Club. Bob Abadie was a very... vital part and supportive part. I believe also worked with Founders Discovery Bay for many years as well. And so a lot of the legacy members want to just commemorate him. And that was part of the money that was raised for the Summer Jam. Eventually was supposed to be, you know, in memory of Bob Abadie. And so they're hoping that the board approves allowing some type of signage there.
Okay, is it, well, I'll go right back, because you're in the Lions Club, and that's for people, that's correct.
That's correct.
Is the Lions Club going to make the plaque?
Yes.
Okay. And
well, or order the plaque, right, or physically make it.
Right. But supply it to
that's correct.
The town, and the town will then take it with some direction and put it wherever at the barbecue facility.
Mm-hmm. We could do that if that's
it's not a big
the direction.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I'm thinking not much bigger than what we're seeing
here.
Just
to
clarify that it has not been made yet.
It has not been made.
Is it similar to the bronze plate that we have at the Cornell ball field? We have a plate that says such and such, Mr. Cornell was an instrumental person.
Yes.
It's flat. It's built into the concrete. It's a permanent piece there of that park. And I know that I understand that the barbecue was built, donated and by a bunch of volunteer firefighters, which Bob was a part of. I don't have any more history about that, but it's interesting to come back full circle on it, because that was a big volunteer firefighter available. We had a volunteer fire force that built that. But anyway, interesting. But I saw a concrete plaque for Mr. Cornell at the park a long time ago, and I don't know where it's at.
I have one issue that I think can be mitigated. And that is on our second page of our policy regarding facility naming. The top of the page says, naming and dedications of facilities are special recognition, et cetera, et cetera. The word dedication is naming. I mean, I think if we, on the suggested wording on this plan, said this community barbecue is in the memory of Bob Abadie, we take out that word dedication, it becomes a lot clearer that this is not dedicating it to a facility.
And it could, and if volunteer fire group or whoever came back and said, gee, we're the ones that go, okay, can we make a plaque and put it on there?
Yeah, this is just in memory.
Right.
Yeah.
So it is an option, but we wanted to throw that out because it was brought to our attention that you know, they wanted to do this, and looking at the policy, it's like, well, we're not really changing the name per se. Obviously, if we're changing the name, it's more of a formal process. Yeah.
No, I think with Andrew Dave's suggestion, that we take out the dedicated.
Okay. So,
I think this is something that we should get. We'll recommend this before the board. The board
should
be aware of what we're doing out there.
Yeah, well,
In memory of.
Yeah, we'll bring it as a board item and approve that.
Okay.
Because the recommendation from our committee would be yes, move forward with that.
Okay.
All right. Well, with that, we'll move on to B5 regarding front entrance lighting and landscape.
Right. Okay. Currently, our front lighting system is somewhat inadequate. What we need to probably discuss is the type of lighting that we want to put out there. Obviously, we want to highlight the Discovery Day letters and the ships again. I think the palm trees are getting too tall to try to illuminate. The lighting just kind of washes away from that. And then we also want to do some type of holiday lighting that we can either have one color or multiple color system to.
And on the holiday lighting, that would be something that would still be permanent, just would be turned on.
I would suggest putting it on a separate circuit.
Oh, yeah.
Because as it is right now, those holiday lights, the existing ones that were there that have been removed, tended to go out all the time.
Right, well,
we tend to agree.
Yeah.
For lots of reasons, but I guess to me, there's two things, because I don't know that, you know, the more you have, the more difficult it is to maintain it. But if we went up some of the palm trees and you go up as high as whatever, some 20 feet off the ground, 30, you have that ring that goes around the tree and it shines up, I guess as the tree grows. We have to change the ring, so answer my own question. And then the lights are out up there. You got to get up there and undo the light bulb.
Yeah, and you'd have to rent a lift. That's about $1,500.
That's all we have.
It'll go as tall as the flagpole is out here.
That's as far as the light can go.
Yeah, up. And it won't go that high out there because of being able to access.
All right. Well, we've discussed it. So, if we put in new lights down below and illuminate the olive trees in the front and all that, and maybe some closer up, shoot up or whatever, that's great. The lighting, I kind of liked the lights that went around. It kind of did more. But maybe we don't need to do that if we have some additional lighting that kind of not only does the Discovery Bay sign and maybe the corners and all that to kind of flood the entire band, if you will. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. What about for holidays, though?
Well, that would be a separate thing, and I don't know if we wanted to. Is holidays going to be just the Christmas time, or is it Halloween and Christmas and Easter and Valentine's
Day?
Fourth of July and
Memorial Day, Labor Day.
Sounds to me like it's a full time. If we didn't have them permanently attached and we only turned them on as the holidays, that's one item.
Yeah,
like put something up and then take it down and then wait for another 2-3 months to put something up and take it down.
I think it needs to be permanently attached.
Okay.
Just because of the cost of
the maintenance and all that
Of removing it and replacing it.
All right. And I agree.
Those walls aren't very accessible.
Correct. So a one-time permanent attach that can be maintained by staff, light bulb changes, or whatever.
Yeah, it's probably like an LED system.
LED, yeah.
LED with a variety of colors, which are more expensive, but you save in the long run on having to swap them.
Well, if LEDs, you also save on the electricity part of it, too. So.
Yeah, low voltage, right? Lower voltage?
Yeah, they got lower voltage LEDs, which they eliminate.
Is it going to be like Las Vegas, so we'll always have these lights so we can just change green, red, blue whenever we want? Is that the idea?
Yeah, you can do that.
Would it be just a solid band, like a neon type of a light, or would it be individual lights all the way around?
You can do either way. So we did get a
proposal from the architect that drew up the plans for the landscaping, and that lighting system was $45,000. We have about $60,000 left.
That was fiber optic, right?
Yeah, we have about $60,000 left in the budget for the front.
Right, but we got to do the upgrade of the existing, and then add the holiday light. So I guess I'm open to exploring whatever we could do.
Okay.
I think we do like the lighting though on the front of the entrance.
Yeah, a little more lights out there for the everyday or every evening kind of stuff.
Yep.
Permanent holiday lighting, and I think you just have to do some research, get some proposals, get some people out there to come back to the committee and say, here we got option one, two, and three.
Yeah.
Discuss it.
Seems like the palm trees.
That's a little tricky because you got to go out for RFP on these and get proposals, and they're not going to provide a proposal.
Well, I think we could probably go out and get at least the cost. In other words, if we're going an RFP, we're going to specify the lights that they're going to quote, right?
Yeah, we do have a couple of companies that we can get pricing from.
Right, and then we could get a
preliminary price.
Yeah, and we can get a ballpark of, okay, to fix the current lighting out there, the new circuits and the this and the that. We can get pretty close. We can guesstimate on that. And then the same thing, we know what the parts and pieces are for the holiday lights. We just need to know what it's going to cost to install them. The people that would give us the quote should be able to do well. Most of the time, from what I've heard, they install it costs X amount of foot or some kind of combination. Just get us something before we go out to the RFP so we're comfortable with the number, which would, you know, here's the parts, here's what we think labor's going to cost.
Well, I mean, what is the lighting design? So, I mean, we don't have a lighting design.
We
don't
have a design. No.
Well,
so we don't even know, like, we want to do palm lights or if we want to do the Desco rig plaque a certain way or if we want to have the full perimeter of the wall facade. I don't know.
Well, I think that's why we have to get to that. So.
Yeah.
And
the old ones are worn out, right?
Well, yeah, they all got to be, you know, pretty much.
Do we glue those on or screw those in?
They did it with liquid nails, and they used plastic brackets.
Yeah, so the sun got it.
That's why they were
going off. So we got to start with.
And Uncle Ernie did the indoor circuit box, which every time it rained, rained in the indoor.
Well, now, here's the next question that I get asked in the community. Out of all the stuff that's on the plate, I know you got 1,000 things. When do you think you'd be able to kind of bring that back to the committee?
Should be able to bring it back to our next meeting.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
Yeah.
All right. Good. Okay. With that,